Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, the old pleasure and amazement, the 78 Club presents the great Marlowe, the mental marvel. Gifted with a seventh sense, the great Marlowe reads your mind, tells your every thought. Now let me warn you, if you have a secret you don't want him to know, just don't think about it. Presenting the great Marlowe.
Thank you. Thank you. Frankly, I can't explain the performance you're about to witness. Science, without explaining it, calls it telepathy. Thought transfer.
I call it hokum.
The gentleman says it's hokum. Maybe. We'll see. Now, everybody in this room, concentrate. Think of a thing or a person. Concentrate. Think hard. Ah, I have a thought. Someone is thinking of the initials S.G. Will the person thinking of S.G. please rise?
I've been thinking of S.G.
Oh, thank you. Young lady, you are concentrating on the name of Stanley Green. Is that right?
Why, yes.
Stanley is in the army, I believe. Correct.
Yes, he's a sergeant.
And you want me to tell you Stanley's serial number? It's 340-07-67. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. I have another thought. Someone is thinking. Someone is thinking. Ladies and gentlemen, please bear with me a moment. I'll have to stop this performance. Believe me, it's important. I'll be back very shortly.
I told you it was hokum.
What happened, Professor? Forget your code?
Hey, what's the idea of stopping the act that way?
Where's your telephone directory, Moreno?
What are you trying to do, ruin my club's reputation?
Shut up, Moreno. Where's your... Oh, here.
Now, listen, Marlowe, I'm paying you $2,000 a week.
Glenwood.
I expect to get my money's worth.
Listen, will you please leave? Just as soon as I'm through with this call, I'll finish the act.
All right, then make it snappy.
And close the door. I should like to speak to Helen Thornton.
This is Mrs. Thornton.
Helen Thornton?
Yes. Who's this?
My name is Marlowe. I'm a telepathist performing at the 78 Club. A few moments ago, during my act, I received a thought that is vital to you. Are you alone?
Yes.
Do as I say, please. Lock all your windows and doors. Allow no one in under any circumstances.
Is this someone's idea of a practical joke?
No, Mrs. Thornton. This is no joke. Someone here in this nightclub is planning to kill you.
Hello?
This is Mildred, Helen. I just got in.
Oh, I've been trying to get you for hours. I know it's very late, but could you come over?
Helen, what's the matter?
Oh, Mildred, I'm so frightened. I'm alone here.
Where's Jack?
Well, he's out of town, and it's Marie's night off. Mildred, I don't know what to do.
What's wrong? You sound
Mildred,
like...
will you come over right away, please? You can spend the night. Oh.
Helen, what happened? What's wrong with you?
Oh, Jack.
Helen, you all right? Look, I'll be right over.
No, Mildred, it's all right now. Jack's come home.
What was the matter?
I'll speak to you tomorrow.
All right. Good night.
Oh, Jack.
Helen, what's the matter? What happened, darling? Helen. Helen, for pity's sake, what is it? Pull yourself together, darling. Here, come on over here and sit down. There, that's better. Now, what is it, darling?
Oh, Jack, I'm so glad you're home. Oh, it's been awful. I didn't expect you when I heard the door.
Well, I finished my business in New York sooner than I'd planned. I would have wired, but I thought I'd surprise you. I met Fred Hamilton on the train coming home. Remember the buyer from St. Louis? He stopped off for a drink downtown.
Oh, but Jack, you should have called me.
As a matter of fact, I did try to phone you around 11. I tried to get you just as we were leaving the 78 Club.
The 78 Club? You were there? You...
Well, what is it, darling?
Nothing. I'm all right now.
Well, something is wrong, Helen. What is it?
I guess I was just frightened being alone.
Well, you've been alone before many times.
Yes, but that call...
What call?
Well, the police. They called.
Oh?
There was a robbery in the neighborhood.
Oh, so that's it. That's why the door was double locked. Well, darling, there's nothing to worry about now. I'm here, right?
Yes, Jack. You're here.
There, that's better. Good night's sleep, and you'll be as good as new.
Yes, Jack.
Now, you lie there and relax, darling. I'll go to the kitchen and make you a cup of warm milk.
Thanks, Jack. Paul, it's Helen. Didn't you get my message? I called twice.
Yes, but I just got in. I thought you'd be asleep by now.
Paul, you must help me. Please, please, Paul, there isn't much time.
Helen, what's the trouble?
He's going to kill me.
What are you...
Jack's going to kill me, Paul. He came tonight...
Helen, what are you talking about?
Paul, you must believe me.
Now, listen, Helen. You've probably had a bad dream. Is Jack there?
Yes, please. You must believe me. I know what he's going to do.
Well, we'll straighten this thing out. Let me speak to Jack.
No, you mustn't. Please, listen to me. He's coming now. You'll never see me again, alive. Goodbye, Paul. Don't bother folding up the dresses, Marie. Just throw them in.
Martin, isn't this kind of sudden you're going away?
Don't ask questions, Marie. Hurry, please. Here, help me close this suitcase. You finish packing the other suitcase. I'm going down to get the car out of the garage.
Good morning, Helen.
Jack.
You look so surprised to see me.
Well, Marie said you'd gone. I didn't expect...
Well, I decided to come back. See, I caught you in time.
Well, I was just going over to Mildred's.
So early in the morning?
We have an appointment for golf.
Darling, in those clothes?
Well...
All right, darling, all right. Helen, I'll tell you why I came back this morning. Frankly, I'm worried about you. Something's on your mind. I know it. Won't you tell me what it is?
I'm all right.
Okay, Helen. Now, listen to me. I had some very important business to settle in the office with Paul this morning, but you come first.
You saw Paul this morning?
No, I changed my mind on the way down and came back. Helen, you need a rest. You and I are going away.
No, Jack,
yes?
No.
Now, there's no use arguing. I've already made a reservation for the weekend.
Where are you taking me, Jack?
Remember that cabin we stayed at 3 years ago?
Oh.
It'll be wonderful. Just the two of us, all alone. We'll drive out there tomorrow. Now, there's no need to fuss either. Just a few old duds and my rifle.
Your rifle?
Yes, darling, my gun. The hunting season is on. The shooting at Lone Acres. No, but why here at Luigi's all the way across town?
It's safer here.
What's gotten into you?
Jack's going to kill me.
Helen.
He is, Paul.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Helen. Why, that's what you told me over the phone last night.
He's changed his plan.
Oh, I see. And why, Mrs. Thornton, is your husband going to kill you?
Because he's jealous of you.
Jealous? Jack jealous of me?
He knows what we once meant to each other before I married him.
Why, of course he does. So what? Why, his winning you is a standard joke between Jack and me. Rivals in love, partners in business, and all that stuff. Come on, snap out of it. I think I'd better talk to Jack about you.
No, Paul, you mustn't. Promise me you won't.
Oh, all right, Helen, if you say so.
Jack's taking me to Lone Acres tomorrow for a rest, he says.
Good. It's just what you need, Helen.
I'll never come back alive.
No, Helen, get hold of yourself. Everything's all right. Your imagination's overworked, that's all. You should go to Lone Acres for a rest. It'll do you a world of good.
All right, Paul, I'll go. But I'm so frightened. So frightened. Paul, we'll be alone and he'll have his gun.
You know, Helen, sometimes I think I love this gun more than I do you. There, it's okay now. Clean as a whistle and fit for the work at hand. Say, look, the fog's lifting. You can see clear across the valley. No, we'll get in some hunting today after all. Helen, what's the matter? You haven't said a word since breakfast.
I'm all right. I've been wanting to finish this story.
The Golden Goblet Murders. You know, detective stories hand me a laugh. Now, if I were planning a murder, I'd use a gun, like this Springfield. Just say, for instance, I wanted to kill... Well, say I wanted to kill...
Me?
All right. Say I wanted to kill you. Now, let's see. We have to have a motive, don't we? All right, have it. Motive? Jealousy.
Jealousy?
Yes, I'm jealous of Paul Allen. That's it. I'm jealous of Paul.
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, come on, darling. Be a sport. Our murder plot is just beginning to get interesting. Now, let's see. We need a locale. Well, Lone Acres, right here. What a perfect setting for a perfect murder. And now for the time.
Yes, Jack. When are you going to kill me?
Well, I shouldn't really tell you when I plan to kill you, but I'll give you a break. This afternoon. How's that? We'll be out in the woods hunting. No one will be too near. No one to see what happens. The hunting season, a gunshot, you're dead. A regrettable accident. And there's our perfect murder.
Has discovered that someone wishes to murder her. A mental telepathist performing at a nightclub read the thought from among the guests. Later, Helen was shocked to learn that one of the guests present in the nightclub was her husband, Jack. She fears that he might want to kill her because of his jealousy of Paul, a former suitor. Her anxiety is heightened when her husband suggests that they go away for a weekend to Lone Acres, an isolated hunting lodge. Once there, Jack tells her it's a perfect setting for a possible perfect crime, her murder, a hunting accident in the woods.
Oh, Helen. Here, up this way. Follow this path around the bend here.
Jack?
Yeah?
Would you mind if I went back to the cabin?
Well, there's a clearing up here, darling. We'll stop for a rest. Helen?
Yes?
I'm going to circle this hill. You wait right there for me.
Jack? Jack, please don't leave me here alone.
Regrettable accident, Mr. Thornton.
But, Doctor, I don't understand how it happened.
Oh, Mr. Thornton, it's really nothing serious. Just a shoulder flesh wound. Your wife's perfectly all right.
Well, when may I see her?
Right now. We'll go in right now.
Thank you. She's asleep.
Go ahead. Wake her up. She'll feel better knowing you're here.
Helen. Helen, darling.
Yeah?
It's me, Helen. It's Jack.
Mrs. Thornton. It's your husband.
Doctor, get him out of here. He's going to kill me. What? Please, Doctor, you must save me.
Mr. Thornton, perhaps you'd better leave the room for a while.
All right, Doctor, I'll wait outside.
Doctor, please don't let him in here again. You must believe me. He's planning to kill me.
Mrs. Thornton, what happened was an accident.
Well, that's what he wants you to think. He planned it that way, but it wasn't an accident.
Now, Mrs. Thornton, it's perfectly natural in a case like this that you should imagine strange things.
Doctor, you think I'm crazy, don't you? I'm not. I know what I'm saying. You yourself took the bullet out of my shoulder. Doesn't that prove to you that my husband shot me?
On the contrary, Mrs. Thornton. At the scene of the accident, they found your husband with a .32 caliber rifle in his hands. The bullet I removed from your shoulder was a .45 caliber pistol cartridge.
Marie?
Yes, Mrs. Thornton, I'll be right up. I was just cleaning up the cellar, ma'am.
Oh, Mrs. Thornton, you have the sling off.
Yes, Marie, the doctor says the shoulder's okay now. Pretty soon I'll be playing golf again.
Oh, that's fine, ma'am. I'm so glad.
Thanks, Marie. Were there any calls for me while I was out?
Oh, Mr. Thornton called to tell you not to wait up for him. He'll be home very late. And, oh, Mr. Allen called too, Mrs. Thornton.
Did he say what he wanted?
No, ma'am. Said he'd try to get you later on. Oh, and Mrs. Thornton, I was thinking... Do you suppose Mr. Thornton wants to keep this box of bullets downstairs on the open shelf? I was thinking it might be dangerous, ma'am.
Bullets?
Yes, ma'am. This box here.
Let me see that box, Marie. 45 caliber cartridges. .45 caliber cartridges.
At the scene of the accident, they found your husband with the .32 caliber rifle in his hands. The bullet I removed from your shoulder was a .45 caliber pistol cartridge.
Good evening. Have you a reservation, madame?
No, I've come to see the great Marlowe.
Yes, madame. And perhaps a table on the side. This way, please.
No, I mean I've come to see him on a personal matter. He's expecting me.
Oh, I see, madame. Albert, show this lady to the great Marlowe's dressing room.
And when the doctor told me about the bullet he removed from my shoulder, I thought it was all a terrible mistake. I was even too ashamed to explain to Jack why I'd acted the way I did. But now, Mr. Marlowe, I'm sure that what you told me over the phone that night is true. Someone is really planning to kill me.
Are you
sure? My husband.
Husband? Are you sure the doctor said it was a .45 caliber cartridge?
Yes, a .45 caliber cartridge, just like these that Marie found in the basement.
Does your husband have a pistol?
Well, I think so. He keeps his guns locked in a case. He has the only key. Mr. Marlowe, he tried once and failed. He'll try again. You must help me.
All right, Mrs. Thornton, I'll do all I can. Where is your husband now?
Well, he's out on business. He'll be home late.
Then we'll have to work fast. Now, let me see. I go on again at 9 o'clock. I want you to go home immediately and find some way of opening the case in which your husband keeps his guns. I'll call you just as soon as my act is over. Mrs. Thornton, if you can find a .45 caliber pistol in that case, I think we can put an end to this affair.
Hello?
Mrs. Marlowe.
I opened the case. There was no pistol.
Mrs. Thornton.
I searched all through the house, and I can't find it anywhere. He must have it with him.
Mrs. Thornton.
What shall I do? I can't stay here tonight. He'll kill me.
Mrs. Thornton, listen to me, please. You must come down here immediately. A few minutes ago, during my act, I received the murder thought again. Mr. Thornton is in this nightclub.
My husband is there now?
Yes, meet me in my dressing room. Be sure to come in through the back entrance and hurry.
All right, Mr. Marlowe.
And where am I supposed to be right now?
Jack. Oh, but, Jack, he said you were standing there all the time. You heard everything.
Enough.
Well, it's not you. Well, then who is it at the 78 Club?
Me? 78 Club? Helena, are you going to tell me what this is all about?
Not you. Oh, yes, darling. I'm going to tell you everything, everything. I should have told you before. I wanted to, only... Oh, Jack... I need you so much.
Now, look here, Marlowe. I want to get to the bottom of this.
But Mrs. Thornton and I have told you everything.
Yes, well, then explain to me why at the very moment I was standing in my own home listening to my wife talk to you on the phone. You were telling Mrs. Thornton that I was sitting in this nightclub planning to kill her. Oh, don't you see, Helen, this man's a cheap trickster. Why, he's never even seen me before. Why didn't you come to me when this all started, darling?
Jack, I was afraid.
Because she thought you were the one, and so did I. That's why I assumed it was you sitting out there. Of course, I never saw you before you entered my dressing room a few minutes ago. You see, Mr. Thornton, I have a telepathic mind, not a magic eye. I know what your wife and I have told you is hard to believe.
I don't know what your game is, Marlowe. But I'll find out soon enough. Come on, Helen, we're going to police headquarters.
That won't be necessary, Mr. Thornton. The police know about this. I told them.
What?
The police are here now, in this nightclub. Mr. Thornton, whether you believe it or not, your wife's life is in jeopardy. Someone in this club now is planning to kill her. Perhaps this will convince you. You own a .45 caliber pistol with a serial number 75682.
What? Yes, that's right. That's the pistol I reported as missing.
Yes, I know. The police told me tonight.
Jack, why didn't you tell me?
Well, darling, you've been so upset lately, I didn't want to cause you any more anxiety.
That pistol is, in all likelihood, the same weapon that was used up at Lone Acres in an attempt on your wife's life.
Mr. Thornton, that pistol was brought to this club tonight by the person who is planning to kill your wife. The police found it concealed in an overcoat in the hat check room. Whoever claims that coat is Mrs. Thornton's intended murderer.
Oh, why should anyone want to kill her?
Who can it be?
We'll soon find out. Mr. Thornton, do you recall the night you were in this club? The night I first received the murder thought?
Yes.
That night, did you see anybody here, or were you with anyone who knows both you and Mrs. Thornton very well?
Let me see. Yes. No, it couldn't be.
Pardon me, please.
Here we got him, Mr. Marlowe. Here he is.
Will you bring him in, Inspector?
All right, you. This way.
Come on. Mrs. Thornton, your intended murderer.
Paul! That's right. He was with me here the night you received the murder thought.
It was Paul all the time.
Yeah. And it almost worked, yes. And all the clues pointed to you, Mr. Thornton.
But why? We were so friendly, the three of us.
Friendly? More than that, Mrs. Thornton. Paul Lallon was hopelessly in love with you.
Mr. Marlowe, you're on.
All right, I'm coming.
Let's go, Allen.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the 78 Club presents the great Marlowe, the mental marvel. He'll read your mind and tell your every thought. But let me warn you, if you have a secret you don't want him to know, just don't think about it.
They come to the castle almost every day now, the Gestapo, trying to question me. But it seems I'm very stupid. Somehow, I don't give the right answer. Perhaps it's my advanced age. When they ask me about the night of the king's birthday, I get confused. I ramble on in the fashion of old people. Gentlemen, Kronwall Castle is 300 years old. For all those years, Kronwall has been a symbol of Danish liberty. Gentlemen, the sea waves beat against the rocks of Kronwall. The sea is deep. Ah, the sea knows everything. Ask her.
Stop babbling nonsense, you old fool. Answer my question. Did you know about those notes?
But of course, Herr Lieutenant. Everybody in the district knows about them. The notes said Count Victor would kill himself on the night of the king's birthday.
Did you see the notes?
Oh, no, Herr Lieutenant. But the notes said that Count Victor would kill himself because of his great shame. That I do know. And the notes said the exact time, 12 midnight.
So you know the exact time?
Yes, I'm fond of clocks, you see. My father had a clock that told the time with a bird jumping out. The bird whistled, like this.
Stop that insane chirping!
Yes, Herr Lieutenant?
I'll take care of you later. Perhaps I'll have something that will improve your memory. Stay there till I call you.
Yes, Herr Lieutenant. There's nothing the matter with my memory. I could tell them a thing or two if I wanted. I could tell them how it all happened. It began 2 days before the king's birthday. That was the day the new Nazi Gauleiter, Herr Rachmann, came to the castle to see the Countess Elsa. I was told to show him into the library. It was cold and gray, and the sea was pounding on the rocks, very angry, like it always is in November. The new Gauleiter sat by the fireplace and warmed his hands and called for a glass of brandy.
And bring some soda, too, please.
Yes, Herr Rachmann.
How soon did your mistress say she would see me?
In a few minutes, Herr Rachmann.
You told her it was most urgent.
Oh, yes, I told her. She'll be with you soon.
I doubt it. Most women's idea of soon is the best part of an hour. In my country, we train our women to...
The brandy, Herr Rachmann.
Oh, thank you. Yes, in Germany we... Courvoisier. Where did you get brandy like this?
Count Victor can get many things that are forbidden to his countrymen, Herr Rachmann. Count Victor's cellar is well stocked.
Is it really?
Yes, we have meat at the castle. Nobody in Denmark has meat. Only Kronwall Castle.
You're lucky.
So they say. Shall I leave the brandy, sir?
Yes. But you stay here a minute. Tell me, what's your name?
Peter, sir.
Ah, yes, Peter. You have been at Kronwall since you were a child. 63 years. Am I correct?
Why, yes. How did you...
It's my business to know a lot of things, Peter. You don't approve of Count Victor, do you?
It's not my place, sir, to...
3 days ago in the marketplace, you were heard to make an indiscreet remark concerning Count Victor's collaboration with Berlin. I think a word very close to traitor was used.
Was it, sir?
What do you think?
I think, Herr Reichmann, the fire is in need of more wood. If you'll excuse me, I'll get some.
Do, by all means. And Peter?
Yes, sir?
Tell your mistress that I do not intend to spend all afternoon here. My business is urgent and...
You may tell the Countess yourself, sir.
Herr
Reichmann. Oh, Countess Elsa, excuse me. I was just saying...
You are quite all right, Herr Reichmann. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Peter told me your business was urgent. I hope I haven't kept you.
Oh, not at all. My business is urgent, but as a new Gauleiter of this district, I might combine social pleasure with business and...
Well, that's very kind of you.
I had hoped that my wife, Frau Reichmann...
Well, of course. You must ask her to call sometime.
Yes, I will. Although I have never had the pleasure of meeting Count Victor, it would be a great honor if we may call as soon as he returns from Berlin.
Certainly, Herr Reichmann.
Thank you.
And this urgent business?
Yes, we come to that. Do you mind if I smoke?
Not at all.
A good cigar always makes unpleasant things easier to tell.
Sounds almost as if you had rehearsed that line on the way to the castle, Herr Reichmann.
I did. And since it was ineffective, I'll be blunt, Countess.
I prefer it.
3 days ago, Countess... To be exact, on the day I arrived at Kronwald to begin my duties as a Gauleiter of this district, I found this note on my desk. Read it, please.
Count Victor of Kronwald will kill himself on the night of the king's birthday.
That note was on my desk in the morning. At noon, I found this one. Read it, please.
Count Victor of Kronwald will repudiate his Nazi collaborators. He will choose the night of the king's birthday for his death.
I thought at first it was some crank. But the notes kept coming. Then I heard that everybody in the district believed what the note said. In every house and shop and farm, they are saying that Count Victor is going to kill himself. You see why I said my business was urgent.
Yes, yes, I see.
It's not that I have the slightest fear for the Count's safety. But the writer of these notes must be found and treated with severe penalties.
You have no fear for my husband's safety?
Of course not. Certainly no anonymous letter writer could force the Count to take his own life.
I wonder.
What do you mean?
Well, you wish me to be frank with you?
Naturally.
You know my husband is hated by the whole countryside.
What of it? The people here are too stupid to know what's good for them.
Perhaps. But the writer of these notes seems to be a little less than stupid.
You think so?
If you knew Danish history, Herr Reichmann, you might agree. For hundreds of years, the night of the king's birthday has been a special occasion at Kronwald. On that night, the castle renews its pledge of loyalty to the king... into Denmark's freedom.
A very theatrical gesture.
Quite. But if anyone wished to remind Count Victor...
If someone wished to remind the Count that he had chosen our glorious Führer for his leader...
Yes. The night of the king's birthday would be, shall we say, the psychologically correct time to do it.
You reason well, Countess.
I know my countrymen.
Evidently.
I can see how these notes would inflame their imagination... If Count Victor were to take his own life as a public repudiation of his present political bonds, the whole country would be stirred to its depths.
I see. You seem to view the possibility of your husband's death rather calmly, Countess.
Like you, Herr Reichmann, I have no fear for his safety. I am only presenting the political possibility.
Quite so. And since you grasp the full significance of the notes, you understand that I must take certain liberties in order to track down the writer.
Liberties?
Yes. I shall ask your permission to talk with Dr. Erickson.
Oh, Dr. Erickson?
I'm told he lives here at the castle.
Yes, but...
I should like to talk with Dr. Erickson.
Well, as you wish. Peter will show you to the doctor's study. However, I...
My time is short, Countess. I understand Dr. Erickson is one of your country's able psychiatrists. I understand that Dr. Erickson is an authority on mass suggestion. His help should be invaluable.
Dr. Erickson.
Yes, Peter, show the gentleman in. Sit down, Herr Reichmann. Don't be alarmed about these mice. I'll remove them just as soon as Herman here gets through the maze. Watch him, he's really quite clever. I've been trying him on liver extract and... Ah, he made it. Good night, Herman. Now, off to bed. I've been expecting you, Herr Reichmann. Please sit down.
Thank you.
You've come to see me about the notes. Am I right?
Yes, you're right, Doctor.
When I first heard about them, I said to myself, The new Gauleiter will want my theory concerning the type of mind which would be prompted to write such notes. I'll tell you my theory, Herr Reichmann.
I don't want your theory, Doctor. I want you to answer some questions.
Oh, so it's like that. And perhaps you want a sample of my handwriting, too.
I'm not a fool, Doctor.
That's very possible.
How long have you been treating Count Victor for a certain nervous disorder?
5 years.
What would you say is his condition now?
You've never met Count Victor, have you, Herr Reichmann?
No.